Joe knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC. He's always mistakenly British.
Tea and crumpets.
Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all seven continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo's Nerdly, presents Mark Stein.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you have been waiting for one solid week. And I understand that there are rumors that Mark Stein will be asked to host this year's Oscar affairs in Hollywood, California. Any truth to that rumor, Mark?
I certainly hope not. Have you seen these films?
I saw the one that's got all the big nominations, the dog thing. I saw that on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't think that's where you would see it if it was a really big film. I think I miss the old days when they would show these things in Technicolor and you could sit there with thousands of other people instead of being socially distanced. That doesn't really work for even these lame Hollywood comedies, you know, when only 12 people are permitted into the theater. The laughs are even less than they usually are. So I certainly don't want anything to do with that. I'd rather they just gave it to a hologram of Billy Crystal circa 1990. They can do it with the hologram. And it doesn't mean I love the way they used to claim that a billion people were watching the Oscars,
right?
And they don't do that now because in fact it's only 173 people, I think, and they're mostly, you know, relatives of the people nominated. So nobody's interested in this. The awards shows also, since you mentioned this. Nobody knows how to do awards shows now. So if you just play up, nobody wants the actors reading teleprompter. Because, funnily enough, the best actors can't read prompter.
Really?
Have you noticed that? No, they can't. So they just have that glassy-eyed thing where they're going, humankind is never so great. Then when we gather in the dark to watch Dude Where's My Car 12. They can't do it. They just can't do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's turn from our version of Hollywood to over across the pond. And I suppose this is a really big week for all of you people who are subjects of the Commonwealth because it's Jubilee Week. Jubilee week. Yes, we're having a jubilee and whatever the hell a jubilee is. I never understood. What is a jubilee?
I'm not going to tell you. You guys checked out of that deal in 1776 and you don't get jubilees.
We don't want jubilees. We've got liberals here ruining everything else. It would just be one more thing for the liberals to ruin.
Yeah,
if
that's
we had
true.
One.
That's true. I wouldn't want to see a Nancy Pelosi jubilee. Although the jubilee is because the Queen's celebrating 70 years on the throne, and I do believe that's how long Nancy Pelosi has been Speaker of the House. It certainly feels like that.
Now, the Queen, 70, which is remarkable. I mean, let us say, I think if history has me right, hasn't she surpassed old Elizabeth the I yet?
Yeah, she's the longest reigning monarch. If you think about it, when she acceded to the throne, which was 70 years ago on Sunday in a tree in Kenya, she went to sleep a princess and woke up the following morning as queen. Because her father had died in the night. Harry Truman was in the White House. Joe Stalin was in the Kremlin. Chairman Mao was over there in China. I mean, the world is completely different And she's still there. So that is sobering because it gives you a sense of perspective. You know, you get excited because you're on the hamster wheel of stuff that seems important and isn't going to be important 6 days later or 6 years later. And it helps, I think, to have someone with a bit of perspective on this stuff.
Now, in all seriousness, you know, her service, she and her sister, during World War II, they were quite, to me, quite remarkable. In World War II, they did not run. They did not flee somewhere where they would be safe. They were actually trying to help the victory movement and in places where they put themselves in harm's way. These are two, to me, their performance during World War II was nothing short of remarkable.
Well, the thing is, there was a lot of talk about them being, the whole royal family being evacuated to Canada. And they realized, you know, that would not be a good look. People would not want that. The Queen of the Netherlands wound up spending the war in Ottawa, but that's because the Germans marched in and occupied her country. And to go ahead of time would not have worked out. That would have been a very bad look on that family.
Yeah, and besides, it was Canada. Who the hell wants to go to Canada? You would rather stay in bombed-out London than never.
Now. We've got a revolution going on there at the moment.
Yes, we do.
Everybody, it's the first, they've surrounded Justin Trudeau's castle with bouncy castles, as the Ottawa mayor is complaining, and it's the first bouncy castle revolution in the history of the world, where the guy in the castle is going to be taken out by fellas in bouncy castles.
I gotta love it. Well, the Queen finally gave a nod to her son, what's his name? The guy,
I don't remember.
Oh yeah, Charlesy. Yeah, she gave a nod to Camilla Parker Bowles as queen consort. She said that, you know, when the time comes, after I turn 150 and I'm finally ready to depart to the next life, if my son Charles is still here and this gal Camilla, I hope that you'll be nice to her as queen consort and that she continues her. Now, that is a big deal, isn't it?
Well, people are presenting it as a big deal, but in fact, you know, that's just the way it is. When you have a king, his wife is the queen consort. That's a fact of life. People, they didn't make her Princess of Wales after Diana died because people attached that particular title to Diana, and that's, you know, and that was a slightly different situation. Apart from anything else, this woman was his mistress during most of his marriage to Diana, so it would have seemed kind of icky to give her, after Diana died, to give her the title. I mean, but you know, a king is a king's wife is a queen consort. You can't say, oh, we're only going to make her, you know, the Countess of Scroggingham or whatever, because it would be that would be like a I'll use a word I'll bet has never been used in the history of American radio.
Okay.
That would be like a morganatic marriage, which is the sort of thing in wacky places like the Balkans, you know, where you have these slightly dodgy monarchs who, you know, marry. You know, they marry their favorite showgirl or whatever, and the Lord Chancellor of the kingdom says, oh, we can't make her queen. We're going to make her, you know, Duchess of the Electric Pussycat, 27B Elm Street. So morganatic.
Morganatic.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, consort is all a word that doesn't really exist out there. I mean, in the American context, I can't even, except when they say, you know, Hunter Biden consorts with hookers. It doesn't mean it in the same way.
I would hope not. Now, there's a story in the New York Times, Mark. I saw this story. I instantly thought of you. The headline of the story is that climate change enters the therapy room. 10 years ago, psychologists proposed that a wide range of people would suffer anxiety and grief over climate. It's happening. People are now going to the therapy. The first story they cite was a woman, thing who goes to Trader Joe's and feels a wave of guilt and shame that made her skin crawl because she was buying some nuts that came wrapped in plastic and thought about the climate implications of buying nuts in plastic.
Yes. This is like pre-traumatic stress disorder. The climate apocalypse hasn't yet happened, but these people are already being driven bonkers by it. When this first came up, the people to blame for this are these apocalyptic global warm mongers who have inflicted this on people. I mean, it's apparent. It is. To a certain extent, a thing, but it's a thing because people have been traumatized by the so-called science. I mean, a lot of school kids. I mean, you know, if you look at Greta Thunberg, you want to say to her, "Look, it's really not that bad. Why don't you have a nice cup of herbal tea and lie down in a darkened room for half an hour? You'll soon be feeling better." Greta Thunberg and her generation have been taught that the planet is going to fry and everyone's going to die and the sea waters are going to rise up and flood everywhere. The polar bears, do you remember that ad?
Yes.
They made where the polar bears were dropping from the skies. So a fellow was strolling up wherever it was, Fifth Avenue, and a polar bear drops out of the sky and crushes a yellow cab. And, of course, it's the Ubers that crushed the yellow cab, but nobody saw that coming. They saw the polar bear coming. And the idea, it was like an inversion of It's a Wonderful Life. It's a horrible life. Every time you buy a packet of plastic-wrapped peanuts, a polar bear drops from the skies onto the poor yellow cab driver. And if you say that to people, decade in, decade out, the idea that it won't drive a few of them, you know, to suicidal levels of stress is unlikely. I mean, that's what it is. If you tell people we're all going to fry, then it's no wonder they're like this.
So you don't suffer from what is called echo anxiety?
No, I don't at all. I'll tell you why. What I suffer from is the idea that the entirety of Western civilization is sliding off a cliff, and most citizens of Western nations don't even notice it. So they're saying, "Oh, I bought a packet of peanuts wrapped in plastic, and I feel so bad because the sea levels are going to rise up and destroy the Maldives in the year 2120." And the thing to say about it, you don't need to worry about that because on our present course, America's not going to be here by 2120. We'll have gone off the cliff with a bazillion dollars worth of debt, and it'll be the Chinese running the world, and you might as well be swallowed up by the oceans because it's a lot more peaceful of a way to go than being taken off to one of those Uyghur camps that they have in China.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the way to get over it.
I love it. Okay, Mark, you mentioned earlier what's going on in Canada. We only have a few seconds left. I have to get your prediction because your prime minister up there is having a cow. He's still saying these are Confederate swastika flag waving lunatics that are basically Americanized and they're ruining Canada and this has to stop. Now these guys are at the Ambassador Bridge and traffic comes in, they're saying, Oh Canada, Canada is gonna have supply chain worries and they're never gonna get over this outbreak. I talked to a friend of mine, Mark, who is Canadian, and she was beside herself. She said, "Most of the people in Canada do not like this. We don't want this American style protest up here, and we wish these people would stop." Meanwhile, they're adopting these protests in New Zealand and other places. Yeah. What do you think the final outcome of this is going to be?
Well, we've already had quite a lot of good outcomes because just in the 10 days they've been occupying Ottawa, God bless them, the Premier of Quebec, who was going to tax the unvaccinated. In other words, when you get when you pay your taxes in a couple of months, if you've had your fourth jab, you'd pay the low tax, and if you're unvaccinated, you'd pay the high tax. He abandoned that after this. The Conservative Party in Canada got rid of their useless, squishy, hollow, nothing man of a leader because he was all equivocal about backing the truckers, and the Premier of Saskatchewan has just announced that he's junking the whole COVID regime and coming out of it. So actually, if this is what it takes, I would love to see a trucker convoy in Washington. The interesting thing here is that they did what the FBI did. They did all this agent provocateur. So they hired, you know, these dress-up guys to go into the crowd and wave, you know, the Confederate flag or pretend to be agents of Putin, as the CBC said up there. And in fact, they've done a fantastic job running food kitchens for the homeless, bouncy castles for the kid, for the kids. I'm all in favor of bouncy castle revolutions. It's a beautiful thing. Let's have bouncy castles round the White House. Joe Biden is at the age where he'd like to play in them again.
Exactly right. Mark Stein, as usual, what a pleasure and a treat. Where can people find you on TV, and where can they read your columns? And by the way, it'll be time to plan for a cruise soon, and I know when we start doing that, they can go to your website. So tell people how to get a hold of you, Mark.
Well, you can watch me at gbnews.uk every evening, and you can read me at steinonline.com, and that's Stein with a Y, as in why are we having to listen to some hoity-toity foreigner talk about morganatic marriage on a New York radio station.
Thank you, Mark. A pleasure as always. Catch you next Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, James.
WABC Talk Radio 77, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. I so much love Mark Stein. We're back right after this. Don't go away.